Melanie Driscoll let out a shriek of dismay as the bride's bouquet came flying right at her. She put up both hands just in time to catch it before it dropped to the grass.
Mel, you go, girl!
You're next!
Mel looked down at the flowers and wondered what she was doing at this relentlessly romantic wedding in Rust Creek Falls Park. She shouldn't have come. But her old high school friend, Sarah Turner, had insisted she get out. Mel knew she should smile and pretend to be thrilled. Not a chance. Her life was a mess and a man was to blame. Mel tossed the bouquet back over her shoulder and felt a bitter sense of satisfaction. Mel turned. Wren Crawford, the flower girl and daughter of the groom, came running toward her, a ribbon braided pigtails bouncing, the giant bouquet of flowers clutched between her hands.
It's okay, I got it.
Wren skidded to a stop in front of Mel. Big blue eyes stared up at her accusingly.
Don't you want to be the next bride?
Oh, you keep it. I don't have anyone special in my life right now.
You came to the ranch with my Aunt Sarah last week, didn't you?
Yep, yeah, that was me. I'm your Aunt Sarah's friend, and my name is Mel.
Mel, do you really want me to have this bouquet?
Yes, I do.
Then I have something you're gonna need.
Oh, wow.
I had a feeling it might be needed today. It's a diary. My uncles found it under the floorboard at the ranch. It will bring you good luck and love. My uncles are all now happily married, and so is my daddy. Here, you can ask my Uncle Wilder about it right now.
Okay, thanks. Bye, Wren. Oh, Wilder. Wren just gave me this, but I believe it's a family heirloom.
Mel, the diary is yours.
Oh, no, it's not.
You caught the bouquet. I'm thinking that means you're the next one to find love. The diary will help you with that.
Wilder, love has not been good to me, and I have absolutely no interest in finding any more of it.
Open it up. Humor me.
Okay, fine. Oh, a letter. It's addressed to Winona Cobbs at a psychiatric facility. Wait, is that our Winona Cobbs?
Who else could it be? Rust Creek Falls is a very small town.
Ugh, I used to love her column, Wisdom by Winona. She lived across from my parents. I basically grew up with her.
Go ahead.
Okay. My dearest Winona, please forgive me, but they say you will never get better. I promise you that your baby daughter is safe. She's alive. I wanted to raise her myself, but my parents forced me to have her placed for adoption. She's with good people. My parents don't know, but I've figured out who they are. Someday, I will find a way to bring her back to you. Yours always, Josiah. Wait, but who is Josiah?
Josiah Abernathy. He was the son of the original owners of the ranch, the Ambling A. He wrote the diary.
Oh, I remember when Winona came to town. I met her that first summer she moved here. And then that fall when my parents died and I came back from school to bury them, she was right there at my side, helping me any way she could. So kind and loving. She made it possible for me to get through a very tough time.
Everyone loves Winona. And she could have lived here decades ago, moved away, and then returned. And stop pushing that diary at me. It's yours now.
Have you talked to Winona about this?
Look, my brother and I have gone around and around about whether or not to approach Winona. You know the situation. Winona's old and she's sick a lot lately. It would be a big shock, and we just all agreed that a shock is the last thing that she needs right now.
What about the psychiatric hospital where she was supposedly sent?
It burned down 40 years ago.
And?
I doubt we would have gotten anywhere trying to question the people there. You know, patient confidentiality laws would have barred them from revealing anything to me or...
Oh, no. Please take it back. I'm not staying in town. I'm actually taking a job in Bronco starting a week from Monday, so...
Doesn't matter. Wren gave you the diary, and I am not taking it back.
Mel wound up bringing the old book home to the empty house she'd grown up in. Todd Spurlock, her cheating ex-fiancé, texted her around then. He'd been doing that, trying to get her to engage so he could beg her to come back. She was fed up, so she blocked his number. And then, to distract herself from angry thoughts of Todd, She picked up the old diary and started reading, and she didn't stop until she read it through to its tragic end, using up half a box of Kleenex in the process. The old book contained the sad story of Josiah Abernathy and his love affair with a woman he called W. It was a story as old as time, really. The rich boy and the poor girl, the boy's disapproving parents, a forbidden love and an unplanned pregnancy, an out-of-wedlock pregnancy, as they used to say in whispers so long ago. What became of the baby? In the diary, Josiah wrote that the child he and W, named Beatrix, had died at birth, and that W had suffered a breakdown at the loss. Josiah's parents had arranged for W to be cared for in a Kalispell psychiatric facility. Late in the night, after she studied Josiah's journal cover to cover, Mel got out the envelope with her dear friend Winona's name on it and reread the letter that claimed baby Beatrix had lived. By the time she finally went to sleep, it was nearing daybreak. She decided she had to meet with Winona.
So, how's Todd?
You don't really want to hear.
Yes, Millie, I want to hear.
Well, you know, I don't want to go into the detail about all that went wrong, so...
Okay, that's all right, too. I just want you to know I'm here and ready to listen if you need to talk it over.
No, thank you. Well, the downstroke is that Todd and I are over. Mm. I moved out of his house, and I'm never going back to him.
Well, where are you living? Somehow I don't see you moving back home to stay.
No, I'm just in town for a few days. I've left Bozeman behind for good, though. In fact, I've got a temporary job waiting for me in Bronco. I start next week.
Ooh, Bronco. Mm-hmm. Aren't you the fancy one?
Yeah, I'll be managing a new restaurant for DJ Trub.
Oh, DJ Trub of DJ's Rib Shack?
Yes, that's him.
Oh, you worked in a Bozeman Rib Shack all through college, didn't you?
Oh, I did, yes. The Bronco DJ's is more upscale, though. It's called DJ's Deluxe, and it's in Bronco Heights.
Ooh. Where all those rich people live.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Winona, in the posh part of town. But, you know, it's only temporary. At the end of the year, I'm moving to Austin.
Oh.
Yeah, I've already got something good lined up there. A company that tried to hire me more than once while I was in Bozeman is expanding to Texas. I'll be their finance and insurance manager. But I have to tell you, I am more than ready for a real change.
Well, you are such a go-getter. But as for your move to Texas...
Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll see about that, won't we?
No, it's happening. You know, I'll be back now and then to visit you and to look after the house.
Though she had no plans to live in her hometown again, Mel had never been able to bring herself to sell her parents' house. So she rented it. Her last tenant had moved out a month ago, which meant it had been waiting for her when she'd left Todd. The property manager she used had a new tenant moving in on August 1st. In the meantime... Mel had scheduled a handyman to take care of a couple of necessary repairs over the next few weeks.
You won't move back to Rust Creek Falls, and I understand that. I can see you're ready for something new, but Montana is your home.
Well, as you said, we'll see.
You belong here in Big Sky Country, dude. You'll figure that out, I think. Yeah, I do get so tired these days.
Oh, well, lie down then. Just get comfortable.
You were such a sweet girl, Millie.
Oh. If I left, how far would you let me get? Would you go searching every street, every avenue? Is there anything you wouldn't do? If I left, yes, I am on the way to Bronco now. I'll see you bright and early tomorrow morning.
Gabe Abernathy was strong, smart, and rich. He loved his family, but sometimes they made him crazy, especially his dad. George Abernathy knew how a ranch should be run, his way. He didn't like anyone suggesting anything different, including his 32-year-old son. Mostly, Gabe let his dad run the ranch. He pitched in when needed and put his focus on his property deals. Gabe tried to pick his battles, but sometimes a man has to say what he thinks. He and his dad had words. an argument about overgrazing that went nowhere. In the end, Gabe tacked up Custard, his Palomino gelding, and rode out onto the land to cool off.
Whoa, boy.
In the distance, on the side of the winding dirt roads that crisscrossed the ranch, sat a silver SUV. Someone was trespassing.
And who could this be, Custard?
Maybe 10 feet from the creek, a small blonde woman in jeans and a silk shirt sat on a blanket with a picnic basket at her side. She had had her head in her hands. He had the strangest urge to comfort her. At the same time, he felt he had no place intruding on a total stranger's private misery.
Oh!
Hey, I'm not gonna hurt you.
You know what? Just go ahead and shoot.
No, no. You don't mean that.
So you're not gonna shoot me?
Hey. There. I'll put it away. Just being cautious, that's all.
Who are you?
I'm Gabe. I live here.
I see. Just a lonesome cowboy, huh?
Pretty much. You mind if I join you?
Why?
You look like you could use some company.
I came out here to be alone.
All right, then. You be safe.
No, wait. On second thought. Yeah.
Yeah. I should join you?
Well, I mean, if you still want to.
All right, then. Pretty day.
Oh, wow. Is that the best you can do?
It's a beautiful day.
Yeah. I'm Melanie Driscoll. Just call me Mel.
Good to meet you, Mel.
I'll bet you want to know why I've been bawling my eyes out, don't you?
I do want to hear. If you want to tell me.
Well, I have to admit, there's something oddly safe about telling a stranger the things you don't have the heart to say to people you've known most of your life.
I'm listening.
It's the oldest story in the book. A couple weeks ago, I came home at lunch to find my fiancé Todd in bed with another woman.
A cheater? Tell me you dumped his sorry ass.
Oh, you bet I did. I threw his ostentatious diamond ring in his cheating face, packed a bag, and left. And he followed me out the door, swearing it was nothing, promising that it would never happen again.
You didn't believe him?
Oh, no, I did not. There had been others, and I'd seen the signs, but I'd been kidding myself. And long story short, a few days later, I went back to collect what few belongings I had, but I was definitely done with Todd. I quit my job with his family's company because, well, yeah, and Todd was the heir to this business where I'd been working my butt off since I graduated from Montana State. It was a job that I loved, by the way. Anyway, our plan, cheating Todd's and mine, was to buy out his parents and run the place together. It was Spurlock's Farm Machinery.
So then you're from Bozeman?
Yep. Born and raised in Rust Creek Falls.
Pretty country up there. And I'm sorry, at least about the job. It sounds like getting rid of Todd was a damn good move.
Well, yeah. Thank you, Gabe. I couldn't agree with you more. I went home to Rust Creek Falls for a few days. It's never been the same there for me, though. My folks were killed 6 years ago in a head-on collision with a long-haul trucker who fell asleep at the wheel.
Oh, that's rough.
He really did want to comfort her and had to remind himself not to reach out and touch her. But he didn't know her. He had to respect her space.
Thus, the crying jag. And now I'm in Bronco till the first of the year, here to temporarily manage the new DJ's Deluxe restaurant and put A-hole Todd firmly in my poor broken heart's rearview mirror.
What happens at the first of the year?
Oh, I'm moving to Austin, taking a job as F&I manager for a company similar to Spurlock's. You know, getting a whole new start in Texas, if you know what I mean.
Well, maybe you'll discover just how much you like it here and decide that Bronco is the right place for you.
Oh, yeah. Not likely, Gabe. I'm ready for a major change.
You'll miss Montana. The winters won't be nearly long enough, and the summers in Austin way too hot and sticky.
Yeah. I have a picnic.
I noticed the basket.
I'm willing to share.
I'd like that.
All right, then. Do the honors?
To new beginnings.
Ah, to new beginnings. I have to say, this is kind of magical, Gabe. I don't really even know you, but you've made me feel so much better about everything without really saying much of anything. So far, I've done more than my share of the talking, but I'd like to listen to you talk. I mean, we'll probably never see each other again.
As he considered his chances of stealing a kiss, a giant raindrop plopped on the basket. It was quickly followed by more. They'd been so wrapped up in each other, neither of them had noticed that the clouds had grown thick and dark.
Oh, I am soaked. I'm soaked to skin already.
Come on, let's get out of here.
Okay, good idea.
Here, I'll get the blanket. Come on, okay. I'll take it to your car. Give me the basket.
Wait, there's not enough room for both of us in that saddle.
No, I know. I'll walk you to your car.
No, it is. It's not necessary.
No, absolutely. Yes, it is.
Okay, yes, let's go. Let's do it.
She took his offered hand, her skin cool and soft and dripping wet. They started up the rise, Custard right behind them. It was a very wet walk, but at least it was quick. At her Audi, she opened the back hatch as he untied the basket. He handed it over and then gave her the muddy blanket.
Thank you, Gabe.
Anytime.
Can I give you a ride?
Oh, no. Me and Custard, we'll make it home just fine.
You made a bad day so much better. Thank you.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Ida, I better get going. What?
Give me your number.
I'm so tempted.
Well, give in then.
Oh, Gabe, I...
If I can't have your number, then I'm never going to see you again. I've been dying to do this.
What?
Gabe dipped his head to touch his wet lips to hers. She sighed against his mouth, her breath warm, scented of apples and wine. It was all the encouragement he needed. He dared to gather her to him, pulling her up to her tiptoes so he could feel her soft, slim body pressed close. But somehow, not close enough. He pulled her in even tighter and tasted her deeply. It was magic, that kiss. Everything he could have hoped for. He wanted it to last forever, but it couldn't. When she pulled away a second time, he made himself let her go.
Bye.
As Gabe mounted Custard and headed home, his arms felt much too empty, his lips still tingling from the taste of that kiss.
Gabe, the lonesome cowboy, had kissed her. She'd let him, and it had been perfect. The kind of kiss that had a girl thinking maybe she didn't hate all men on principle after all. If she hadn't been soaking wet and sitting in a puddle behind the wheel, she might almost wonder if her picnic with Gabe and their kiss in the pouring rain had really happened. She felt almost breathless because, she was. She wished she had just gone ahead and given him her number. Or at least that she had gotten his last name. But she hadn't. And really, wasn't that for the best? She was swearing off men indefinitely, focusing on her life and her own future. Even the hottest cowboy in Montana couldn't be allowed to distract her from her plans. Still... Her lips seemed to tingle all the way to the sprawling, upscale apartment complex in Bronco Heights where she would be living for the next 6 months or so. It was called BH247, the complex. BH was for Bronco Heights. Her cute little studio even had a gorgeous view of the mountains. She parked in the underground garage, gathered her soggy picnic stuff, from where she tossed it in the back and took the elevator up to her floor. Next, she took off her mud-caked boots and then peeled off the rest of her clothes, From there, she went straight to the bathroom for a long, lovely shower. 20 minutes later, she carried out the drenched picnic basket to her small balcony to dry. A friendly voice came from the balcony that adjoined Mel's.
Hey, neighbor.
Oh, hi.
Hi, I'm Brittany Brandt. I recently moved in.
The gorgeous, pulled-together woman on the next-door balcony grinned at her.
Oh, it's great to meet you. I'm Mel, and starting Monday, I'm going to be managing the new DJ's Deluxe.
Well, as a couple of days ago, I'm an event planner. I was working for Evan Cruz. Do you know him?
Oh, I think I saw his pictures on a billboard on my way into town. He does ghost tours or something?
Evan does a big business with his tours, but unfortunately, he's a hard man to work for, and he just doesn't pay enough. I already got something new lined up, so right now I'm taking a short but much-needed break, and I was just about to drag my roomie away from her laptop and head out to the pool, get a little sun. You want to come with?
The outdoor pool, you said?
Yeah, put on your suit. We'll meet you there.
Okay.
The late afternoon temperature was a balmy 80 degrees. Brittany and her roommate Amanda Jenkins had saved her one of the poolside loungers. Amanda was self-employed, a marketing manager who did most of her work on her laptop at home. Mel liked them both. A lot. She found them fun and easy to talk to. For the second time that day, she said more than she probably should have about her cheating ex-fiancé and the great job she had to leave behind. She'd even told them about her chance encounter with Gabe, because why not?
So there I am, with my pity party picnic, out in the middle of who knows where, crying my eyes out over my low-life cheating ex and the great life I had to walk away from, when who should appear but a handsome cowboy, a rifle in one hand, leading a gorgeous palomino with the other.
Okay, so why the rifle? You don't look threatening to me at all.
No, he was just, you know, being cautious. He put the rifle away and asked if he could join me, and I said yes.
So this mysterious cowboy of yours wasn't the least shy then?
No, not shy, but really sweet and understanding. Oh, and did I mention hot? Oh, he was such an amazing kisser.
Whew, well, has Gabe the cowboy got a last name?
He didn't mention it. Oh, hey, it was just, you know, one of those things. A great moment with a guy that I'll never see again.
But maybe we know him. You know, Bronco's not as small as your hometown, but it's small-ish. And Amanda's got mad web skills. You give her Gabe the Cowboy's full name, she can find out way more than you ever wanted to know about
him. See, that's the thing. I don't need to know anything about him. That's the point. I'm not going to look for him. I've had enough of men to last me into the next decade at least. But, you know, I had a great time with him, and meeting him made me feel better about guys and life and everything, you know?
Okay, so what did he look like?
Oh, does it matter?
Yeah, just humor
okay,
us.
Okay, fine. Well, he was tall, lean, wide shoulders, late 20s to early 30s. Oh, he had light blue eyes and slightly spiky dark blonde hair.
Close those beautiful eyes. Picture the guy.
Okay, well, his silver belt buckle had a big A on it.
Oh, last name, initial, maybe?
Wait, hold that thought. This shot appeared in the Bronco Bulletin last December.
Oh, that's him.
Okay, this was taken in the ballroom at the association. I know the venue because I did some outreach for them a few months ago.
Yes, it's a country club, or maybe you could call it a cattleman's club. Mm. Seriously exclusive. Costs a fortune to join.
Your poor cowboy, Gabe, he's from one of the richest families in town. Mm. The man has it all going on, looks, charm, brains, big money, and he's a heartbreaker, too.
Wow.
Lots of girls who have tried to tame him, but he's never settled down.
Yeah, of course he hasn't.
The Abernathy spread is the second largest in the Bronco area.
Wait. Abernathy, you said? Gabe's last name is Abernathy?
For the first time that day, Mel thought of the diary and sweet, old Winona, who may not be the tragic young girl in Josias Abernathy's diary. Could there actually be a connection? There were people named Abernathy all over the country, and it was just a bizarre coincidence that Gabe was one.
Okay, what's the matter? Are you okay?
Sorry. It's just, you know, men, lying liars who lie.
Honey, we hear you.
And really, maybe we shouldn't judge this guy.
Oh, please, you're too forgiving. You always have been.
No, really, look at it this way, Mel. Maybe Gabe liked that you thought he was just an ordinary cowboy, and yet you were somehow interested in him anyways.
You know, I think I'll just stick with my first take on what happened with Gabe. He was kind to me when I was feeling low, and, you know, I'm grateful for that.
Although in bed, sleep was elusive to Mel. After a couple of hours of punching her pillow and tossing around, she ended up pulling open the nightstand drawer where she stuck the diary. She got it out and read it again. It was just as sad as the second time. She cried at the end. And then she blew her nose and dried her eyes and read the brief letter addressed to a girl named Winona who had the same last name as the kind old woman who lived up the street from her parents' house in Rust Creek Falls. Mel spent the day shadowing the current manager at DJ's Deluxe, who left the restaurant at 6. Mel was still milling around, and it was nearing 7. She was in the kitchen when the assistant manager, Gwen, came racing down the hallway from the dining room.
Mel, a customer would like to speak with you.
Oh, they asked for the manager?
No, he asked for you by name.
Has this customer got a name?
It's Gabe Abernathy. Do you know Gabe?
We met the other day, briefly.
You don't know him well, then?
No, not at all, really.
Well, heads up, then. The Abernathys are an important family around here. He's at the bar.
Yeah, I'll just go and see what he wants, then. Gabe, got a problem with the service?
The service is excellent.
How was your meal?
Well, right now, I'm enjoying a drink and admiring the view. You look very professional.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. So then, no complaints on the service and you haven't ordered yet. What can I do for you?
How's the new job going?
Surprisingly smoothly for our first day.
I'm glad to hear it.
Gabe, why are you here?
Oh, I like this place. I eat here often.
Oh, okay. Well, all right, tonight I am training, but Gwen is the one you should ask for if there's anything special you need.
When's your first night off?
Thursday?
Thursday. Let me take you out to dinner Thursday night.
Oh, no, it's not a good idea.
Why not?
Are you pursuing me, babe?
Damn straight.
Okay, well, pursuing me will get you nowhere. Remember that cheating fiancé I mentioned the other day?
How could I forget?
Well, he chased me. Took him a year to get a date. My mistake, I never should have said yes to him. Todd Spurlock was a lesson I won't forget.
I'm not cheating Todd, Mel. I think you know that.
No, I mean it, Gabe. It's not going to happen. So.
Well, I like you, and I want to see you again.
Okay, well, what I'm trying to make you understand is that this time I am not letting myself get caught, okay? So chasing me will get you absolutely nowhere.
And I don't know how many ways to say it. I'm not Todd.
Oh, but you did lie to me. You pretended to be a broke cowboy.
Oh, no, I didn't. You asked who I was, and I gave you my name.
Just your first name.
If you'd asked, I would have told you my last name, too. But you didn't. I said that I lived there, and I do. Did you know you were on Abernathy land?
No, I did not.
Then you called me a lonesome cowboy, and I said that I was. I can rope and ride, and I've been working around cattle since I learned how to walk. The way I see it, that makes me a cowboy. And as for the lonesome part, sometimes I do feel kind of lonely, so I qualify in that score, too.
Okay, you're a rich guy from an important local family.
So, Thursday night, then. I'll pick you up at 7.
You are not getting this. There's also a big problem with your name.
What, now you don't like my name, Gabe, for some reason? My full name is Gabriel. You can call me that.
No, I like Gabe just fine. It's your last name that I'm not comfortable with.
Okay, I'll bite. What's wrong with Abernathy?
Well, there were Abernathys in Rust Creek Falls.
There are Abernathys in a lot of places.
Well, in Rust Creek Falls, so the story goes, the Abernathys sold off their ranch and left town suddenly without a trace, like in the dead of night, never to be seen or heard from again. And at the time, there was a lot of whispered speculation about the things those Abernathys got up to. They were a shady bunch.
Wow, that is quite a story,
it's,
Mel.
Not a story, it's a known fact that you can't trust an Abernathy.
Okay, now that's good. Now I know that you were just yanking my chain.
Oh, yeah? Well, you know, you can take it, right?
Have lunch with me tomorrow out at the ranch. I'll introduce you to Malone. He's been the family cook for as long as I can remember. You can ask him anything you want about me, and he will give it to you straight. Malone knows where all the bodies are buried.
Their bodies.
Settle down, Mel. It's just a figure of speech.
No, I'm serious. Look, I'm not falling for any of your lines, okay?
Lunch. Just lunch.
Okay. But it is not in any way a date. I'm just, you know, curious about what the Bronco Abernathys are really like.
Give me your number and your address. I'll pick you up at 11.
No. I will drive myself.
Okay. Well, I'll still need your number to text you directions.
Okay. Give me your phone.
I'll be there at 11. I'll show you my place, and then we can walk over to the main house to eat. But Malone always puts out a good spread. I'll arrange for you to talk to Malone privately so you can find out all my dirty secrets. And you can also meet my mom and my dad. And don't freak. I get it. You're not in the market for a boyfriend. And you don't want to meet any guy's parents. But they live there, and lunch in the main house is kind of a thing. So you can ask them any questions you might have, make up your own mind about the Bronco Abernathys. I think you're going to find that we are not as shifty as you seem to think.